This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is Friday once again, and as always, you know, if you're going on a road trip, you need a new van, Sprinter van, Mercedes Sprinter van is the one for you. Eli Bryan, they're down there waiting for you. They got some great deals. They got some awesome inventories. Plenty to choose from down there at 2405 Commercial Street Southeast in South Salem.
Well, as summer wears down, it's kind of the perfect time for that that camping trip, that road trip, visit those once-a-year relatives.
I guess everybody's got some of those, don't they?
Oh, everyone.
It is what it is, but that's funny. Yeah, so if you need one, they've got plenty down there, so go check them out. Major League Baseball, the Mariners, I mean, they're going to be coming up after we're done here. And it's been, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Hunter, how August is the juggernaut for the Mariners. If you just look at their schedule, they were playing, I mean, you got the Dodgers, you got the Brewers, now you got the Astros starting tonight, and you just came off Yankees, which finally they got a win, 1-0. And if that's how they can win, finally some pitching came through because they've been allowing so many runs. And I'm going to be honest, the middle of that bullpen has been atrocious, whether it's Bizzardo, Farrar, or Spire. I mean, is that how Spire? Yeah, Spire. All those three guys. I mean, they have their moments, but overall, and for the most part, these guys are allowing so many runs, so many hits, and not just runs, but home runs. They're getting ripped apart.
Well, I just sit here and go, you know, the Mariners have played 500 baseball all season long coming into August. And when you looked at their schedule the rest of the way, August, September, August is running the gauntlet. They are playing the best teams in baseball pretty much the whole month of August.
Yeah, and they are.
And we said, if they can get through August and still be within striking distance, September gives them a good shot of returning to the playoffs.
They're not that far away. I mean, what are they, 5.5 games out? I mean, you're not, but you're only halfway through August.
Well, which brings us to this series right now. The Astros have made the move. They're 2 games above 500 sitting in first place. So here you are head to head with the Astros. These are must win games at this point, because you win these games, it pulls you close to the Astros. Texas is still in between, but they've been struggling a bit lately. So it keeps you within striking distance with the remainder of August to struggle through. And if they can maintain 500 ball through the rest of August, September gives them a real great opportunity to get back into the hunt. But of the last week or so has been horrendously bad.
You know, it has. And I think there's some psychology going on right now. I mean, they're struggling. They're trying to make moves. But still, nothing really is working. And it kind of seemed like something did. I mean, after Cal just had this, I mean, he went on an interview on Wednesday night after that loss and just says, we're terrible.
Yep.
We're a very, 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 very bad team right now. And maybe that helped these guys get over the hump a little bit and start, okay, what do we got to do? What do we have to do to get this thing turned around? And really, their hitting has been okay. I mean, they're scoring enough runs. I mean, we've been touting that their pitching has been so good for the last few years. And it's like this year, something went sideways.
Well, I sit here and I go, here's the challenges I see. One, they sent down Colt Emerson. Young player, rookie, you know, highly touted. Realistically, probably be okay. Get down, get to the minor leagues, get some at-bats, get your head squared around for the next couple weeks, bring him back in September in a low-pressure scenario. Julio, who has been the face of the Mariners since he arrived on the big leagues, what, 5 years ago, four and a half years ago, 5 years ago now. Last year you saw him pick it up because he no longer had to be the face of the franchise because of what Cal was doing. So what happens this year? Cal had some injury issues early in the season, was really struggling. Julio, I think you add a little pressure. You get young guys like Cole Young and Emerson coming in. And when you're seeing the faces of the franchise struggle, you put more pressure on yourself. So now you have young players over pressuring themselves and struggling. And it's a big time domino effect. And for right now, like, I love the idea of Emerson actually going down and getting at bats in low pressure situations to return in September and probably keep him in low pressure scenarios. And for Cal, I kind of sit here and go, at this point, do you almost bench him or IL him or whatever you got to do for the next 2 weeks? Give him a lot of time to just kind of relax and really work on his swing and his approach and realize you can't press every day. We see this all the time with players that press, they overpress to the point where nothing happens, nothing goes right, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So give him a couple weeks, bring him back in September when, you know, you're either in the hunt or you're out of the hunt.
Yeah, it's just either or right now. I mean, you're on the precipice right now.
And I say if he's still in the hunt, if they're out of the hunt, you maybe just give him the rest of the season to just kind of recoup, relax, and work on those things and get back into the swing of what we know Cal can do.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you're out of it, does that release the pressure? Because you know it's over. Yep. And so then, okay, now you can relax because you know you're out of it. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. And so maybe then he can get back into a rhythm or something, because right now, mentally, you're right. He's putting so much pressure on himself. You're not, it's a lose-lose all the way around, and you're not going to get out of it. So how do you eliminate all that pressure? I mean, really, that comes on, Dan Wilson. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the manager. You need to do something. You've got to, guys, take a step back, take it easy. If we lose, then we're going to lose. If we win, come on, you guys know that you're good. Let's go get after it. You've got to be a cheerleader.
Well, I sit here and I kind of go, from Dan Wilson's perspective, you are a player on these teams from Griffey to A-Rod to Ichiro. You saw what it looked like when success bred success. And the players fed off of one another. No one was over-pressured to carry the team. And you've also been a part of those teams where superstars struggled because there wasn't the support around them.
You know, I'm wondering, Hunter, if... So right out of the gate, everybody's saying, oh, geez, the Mariners are going to take the American League West. Mm-hmm. And so did that have a problem? Did that put more pressure on this team knowing, hey, we're supposed to be good. Now we have to go out and perform. And it happened exactly to the Toronto Blue Jays. Same exact scenario. Mm-hmm. And where are they? They're on the bottom of the barrel. So, I mean, I think that added pressure probably put something on there.
It is all in professional sports in general. It is easy to be the chaser than the chasee. Or the chased, whatever you want to say, because there isn't the pressure. For the teams that aren't expected to be sitting at the top, I mean, look at the Astros right now. They've been on a bit of a winning streak. They've, you know, pulled themselves up, and they're now in first place again, but no one expected it from them this year.
They were, it's only been like 2 or 3 weeks, too.
You know, Texas,
they've just got on a winning streak.
Texas is sitting in second place. Mm-hmm. And no one's expected that from them in, you know, since A-Rod and I-Rod. And
so what you're telling me is you really need to come in with zero expectations. So I think the Mariners need to lower their expectations and just go out and play.
Yeah. Well, and I sit here and watching the Mariners over all of these years, it's always that scenario where they're on the precipice of greatness. We'll put it that way. Whether it's, you know, record tying wins in a regular season and falling, you know, not making it past the American League Championship Series, or the year that saved baseball in Seattle with Griffey and the team coming back and beating the Yankees late, but not making it, you know, beyond that. And I kind of go, whenever the Mariners reach that point, the following season is a major fall off. And I think that may be it's a mindset. It is, they have to understand. Now, when you're favored, you have to play that way. And when you get players now are pressing, saying, we're favored, we should be winning, and we're not, you struggle, continue that downward struggle. And without the ability, and let's be honest, the reputation of Seattle is they're not going to swing a big deal for that major headliner. They're not going to go out and get a Juan Soto or a Bryce Harper or, you know, these major names that lift the franchise and go, hey, we have that bona fide established superstar, future Hall of Famer. They're not getting them. So how do you kind of do that? I mean, look at the Dodgers picked up Skubal. They didn't need him, but they figured that, you know, while we're collecting things, we might as well.
You know, the interesting thing about the Dodgers is they've got all these players, and they are on a huge losing streak. Yeah, they won three in a row, but then they just lost again to the Brewers last night. So it's just like these guys are really struggling, and I think they've got just, if not more, pressure on them to win because of they've got all the money.
Oh, yeah.
They've got all the money. And they've gone out, Magic Johnson, that whole entourage that follow this guy. There's a lot of money there. They want to win, and really, it's kind of ruining baseball what they're doing, well, to be honest. But
you know, let's take a break, and we can dive into that a little bit because it's becoming such a poster child as the collective bargaining agreement is coming up very soon. So let's take a break. You're listening to Sports Ticket Friday afternoon from 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Here we are, second segment. The first one was a little long. We got a little wild, but it's good. I mean, Major League Baseball, shoot, and what's better with, well, I guess, I don't know if I can say what's better when you have a long, you know, you go alongside with Major League Baseball, but I think Domino's Pizza is good with any kind of sport.
Well, duh.
I mean, boom.
Boom.
You could go online and get 20% off your order.
Or you
still.
Could, or you could, you know, swing by and pick one up before or after your chosen sporting event.
You know, it's the best value of any pizza. You can go anywhere. It doesn't matter. I mean, pizza's expensive nowadays, and I keep wondering why.
But, well, everything's expensive nowadays, Jeff. Do you get out and about at all?
Fact is, Domino's has buying power, and so that's why you get very good pricing with your very good pizza.
Yeah. Do you go anywhere besides, you know, Wrigley Field and baseball?
Well, yeah, they don't have a Domino's inside of Wrigley Field, but they have one outside.
That's right.
And they'll deliver.
Will they deliver to your seats? That would be the. Yeah, that'd be
that
pretty
would
cool.
be funny. Oh, geez. All right. So what are we going to do? We're going to get back to Major League Baseball. What do we leave off with?
Well, we left off with the amount of money the Dodgers are spending. Mm. Like we just said, they picked up arguably the best pitcher in baseball to go alongside the best two-way player since Babe Ruth to go alongside, you know, a you know, six figures, probably getting close to seven figures, you know, salary, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're in the billions now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
an absolutely huge payroll, bigger than, you know, multiple my other teams combined. And the collective bargaining agreement ends, I believe, at the end of this season.
Well, that's going to change everything, I think, because these players, you could have another strike. And should they? I think they should.
Well, rumors, from what I'm hearing, is owners are actually preparing to not have a season potentially.
Really?
The big sticking point is the salary cap, which has always been, since as long back as I can remember, what, the 1984?
But who abides by that, Hunter? I mean, there's a salary. So what? Are you going to pay a fine? Well, the Dodgers are paying fines all over the place.
They wouldn't
if that's
be
the
allowed
case.
To pay the fine. So here's the current way it's set up. And it's pretty much, here's this set number in Major League Baseball where if your salary goes above this, you pay it's an astronomically large amount in luxury tax, which then gets distributed to the bottom end of the money to the league, right?
Because it's fair.
Well, but when you have virtually unlimited purse strings like the Dodgers currently do, like the Yankees have had in the past, the teams don't care about paying that luxury tax. They're willing to bite it in order to gain the revenue of being the best team in baseball. The Dodgers are really right now looking at three World Series wins in a row.
That's crazy, isn't it? It hasn't happened for so long.
It's been the early 90s, and it wasn't even, I think it was the A's, and the A's in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think, 89, 90, 91.
The Bash Brothers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could have had four if it wasn't for Kirk Gibson back in '88. But
here's the trick: is Major League Baseball really wants this? They almost need it, and they're not just talking about a high end, you know, cutoff. You cannot have a payroll bigger than this, but they're also talking a low end and saying you cannot have a payroll below this, which will actually force a handful of teams to add money to their payroll, such as the soon to be Las Vegas Athletics and others.
But what about the deals that have already gone down? So you've got Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
So he's getting paid like on the back end, way back. I mean, well, but after the fact, that's why he's getting so much money for the rest of his life.
Well, and see, that's going to be the trick is how are they going to retroactively do things like make the Dodgers cut? I mean, there's so many questions to be asked, but the players union has always been out of it, lined in the sand, no payroll cap.
You know, what do you think of it for the players if they don't have a season? I mean, that's actually probably, I mean, I know they love playing the game, but don't you need a break sometimes? Well,
For the player level, it's going to cost, especially older players. You look at guys like Bryce Harper, J.P. Crawford of the Mariners, these guys that are 10-year plus vets. You could potentially be cutting a season that could be the difference maker with them getting into the Hall of Fame. You're talking about cutting a season out of the prime of some of, you know, Julio, some of the best players in baseball right now, Shohei Ohtani. Which then, you know, at the back end could cut them. You're doing all sorts of things, and you're also damaging the sport in a major way.
Every time there's a rumor or a threat mm-hmm. of baseball not being played, it always affects at least the next year, if not two, of the fan base, because you know what? They get tired of it. But you know, this is getting old. I think this has got it's at an extreme right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that they do need to come to the table and change everything up. But everything's changing now.
Well, see, but the players union side will use the argument that yes, the Dodgers have a historic, you know, blow everyone out of the water payroll. But on the other side of the league, you have Tampa Bay, which has a very low payroll, but yet has right now a better record.
They do, and so, they're playing really good baseball right now.
A lot of this is going to be how the actual World Series plays out at the end of the day. Because if it's a Brewers, the Brewers just beat the Dodgers. If it's a Brewers Rays World Series, the owners lose a lot of power.
Yeah, but you also got to look back at Major League Baseball. They want big markets to have that World Series so they can make more money. Well, and that's what it always comes back down to. I don't care what anybody says. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's always about the money. Follow it.
I got to put one more thing before we go to break, because we do have Mike Allegor got a chance to sit down with Joey Mack, and it's a great interview talking about the Ducks. But I do have to point out the 94 player strike, which ended the season, virtually ended the Montreal Expos, because they were the front runners that year. And within a few years, they had moved to D.C. because they had to literally fire sale a Pedro Martinez and major team. It cost such a fan base that the fan base didn't return until the home run chase of McGuire and Sosa, which now when looked back on, it was a bad thing because of the steroid part. I'm going, so you needed them to bring the fans back and generate the excitement. But then post that, now they're the bad guys because guess what? They did everything Major League Baseball needed them to do. What a circle.
Isn't that unbelievable? I don't know. We can't even go down that rabbit hole. There's
not,
too
not
many.
Not right now. There's too not enough time, especially with Mike's interview coming up.
All right. Sounds good. Mike and Joey Mac after the break. We'll see you after they get done.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And we return to the Sports Ticket here on a Friday. Mike Allegor sitting in with the fellas as we close out the week, and we're doing a little earlier this day, but on the phone with us here to talk all things Ducks football, one of the radio voices of the Ducks, it's Joey Mack from the hot confines of Lane County and Autzen Stadium, where he's got his 50 level suntan lotion on those arms of yours. Hi, Joe.
Oh, no, I'm an SPF 70, guys. Any of you that have ever seen how red I am on camera and what I look like and just the paleness of the skin. No, this is an SPF 70 operation. It is bucket hat season in Eugene. I look like I'm a guy on the river. I haven't gotten to the point where you can just see the white sunscreen on my nose yet.
Yes.
But that's what the bucket hat's for,
that's
guys.
It's
bucket hat season for all of us that sunburn like lobsters.
Well, this is so that keeps you as a face for radio is what I'm hearing.
Oh, that was never in question. You know, these days you say face for YouTube or face for Facebook or something like that. You know,
that's true.
Modern radio, it's all over the place.
This is true. And that's 70 years talking right there. So here we go. Joey, thanks for joining us here on the Sports Ticket. And it's that time of year where everyone's getting excited, no matter what your favorite team is. And ours is the Ducks. And we've got what we are told is a very athletic roster. You got your quarterback in place. There's high expectations to make it at least to the semifinals. And there's no questions right now in his fifth year, Dan Lanning's developed what I would call, anyone would call, an elite program. And 48-8 since Dan took over in 2022. This team is primed and the expectations are high.
Well, and you just said the key number for me. I mean, 48 wins in 4 years is really something. I mean, the Ducks have consistently been one of the best teams in the Dan Lanning era, you know, mm-hmm. in the top three in pretty much every category, most notably wins across the country over the last 4 years. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the staff, but also the roster, to your point, that he's built. I mean, if you look at just the recruiting rankings, and I know the recruiting rankings are an often beguiled thing around college coaches. You know, they always talk about we recruit the right guys and the rankings are just kind of there. Well, the fact is that it does at least give you an idea of what everyone thinks of the individual player from mm-hmm. a skill perspective. And it is the most talented team that Oregon has assembled. And that really starts with Dante Moore. I mean, you think about a quarterback of his caliber that chooses to come back, would have been a first-round NFL draft pick had he gone pro last year. And then you couple that with Mateo Uiagalelei and Tatum Tuioti and, you know, guys like Amari Washington and Bear Alexander on the defensive front. You add Coy Parrish, who really has filled in nicely for Dylan Thienemann, who was a top draft pick in his own right. You know, I just think that Oregon has done a really nice job with retaining players and also filling in the spots that they needed this offseason. And, you know, the coaches have always said, Marshall Malko, the chief of staff, he's always talked about this, that Oregon's going to recruit high school first, and they'll supplement with the portal when they need to. But the fact is that Oregon's done a really nice job supplementing with the portal, perhaps better than any program in the country over the last few years. And most notably, that's been true at the quarterback position. Bo Nix has been pretty darn good there,
yeah,
to say the least. And then you go to Dante Moore and you think, okay, that's going to be a good team too. So, yeah, all in all, it's been a fun ride for sure.
Dante Moore last year over 3,500 yards passing, 30 touchdowns in just his first season as a Duck. That right there, Ducks averaging over 35 points a game. They bring that same firepower back. And there could be an argument that some of the better players that they haven't had to replace a whole lot upon the D-line, but the running back room and the wide receiver room is crazy good.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, there's a lot of returning talent there that did get a big taste of action on the field last year. And maybe let's start with the pass catchers. I mean, Evan Stewart was hurt last year. He's now back and sure looks the part. Let me tell you, like, he looks the part in both off the field and on the field activity. It's been fun to just watch him enjoy playing football again after going through an injury last year that did hamper the Ducks receiving core a bit, but guys rose up in those different moments. But man, I mean, you just start talking about DeCorian Moore, how good he was as a freshman, and just the skill level that we all see. Evan Stewart's been excellent when he's been on the field. Now he's back out there. And Jamari Johnson's garnering at the tight end spot a ton of praise, and rightfully so. He certainly looks the part. The stats have backed that up, particularly at the end of the season. The list goes on and on, and there's some new faces there too, like an Iverson Hooks who came in and has garnered a lot of comparisons to Tez Johnson, and he should. You know, he has that similar body type, comes from a lower level school, and seems to have fit right in. And Jeremiah McClellan, I feel like, often gets even overlooked with all these other guys, and J-Mac, as the guys call him, has just been really solid for Oregon. And again, the list goes on and on with the pass catchers. But then at the running back spot, Jordan Davison, De'Aaron Hill, both got a taste of the action last year and seem to have really embraced the growth that's necessary from freshman to sophomore year. And, you know, Rashad Samples, that running back coach, was even talking about, like, yes, you know, everyone discusses how much they played last year, but really, it's not like either of them was the quote-unquote feature back. I think that era of college football is sort of behind us. You're going to see more rotation to keep guys fresh, be as explosive as possible from the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Rashad Samples said, like, they both still have things to work on. Like De'Aaron Hill wants to be a three down back, not just a one down back. And Jordan Davison, you know, same kind of thing. You want him to be able to do some different things. And the offensive playbook then gets a lot more difficult to scout when those guys can play in different types of plays and different personnel packages. So a lot of great returners at the skill positions. And you couple that with Dante Moore, and yeah, this offense has the potential to be really, really potent under first-year offensive coordinator Drew Maringer.
We're talking with Joey Mack, and one of the voices of the Ducks here, as we talk about halfway through fall camp. We're getting a look at everybody. You're getting a chance to see them. I have seen some highlights, and one of them that really impressed me was this freshman 6'7 tight end Kendra Harrison. He is a target. And this guy can get up and get the ball, and he's wearing a familiar tight end number to the Ducks, number 18. What about him?
That's right. Yeah, he's got a large radius in terms of wingspan. He was a basketball player as well and probably could be playing D1 basketball. And you're right. He really does look the part. And I think as another pass catcher, the Ducks also brought in Marcus Dixon and Andrew Olesh at that spot to supplement Jamari Johnson. But Harrison being a freshman, I know the highlight you're talking about. I was there when he made that play. It really is amazing to see the tight end position and the transformation that it's undergone in the last 20 years in college football. I mean, those sorts of guys can be real mismatches. And if I'm an opposing defense, I don't want to try to scheme against that guy and Jamari Johnson and all the other pass catchers at the wideout position. I think Harrison sure looks the part. I'm really curious to see how much the Ducks utilize him this year, because again, there's a lot of experienced pass catchers on this team.
Again, Joey, when we talk about all the skill players, they've got protection and a good offensive line with some fairly good depth, I would say. I don't know who your anchor is. I want to say it's Lealulu, your center. He is a big young man, but you've also got the tackles, Crater and Bennett. You got Rogers and Iuli, or how you pronounce that, Lule. And plus the depth there is great on the O-line.
Well, and the O-line is certainly the position group that has the least experience at this level, but there's guys that have kind of been training in the wings that have their opportunity potentially in front of them. You mentioned Poncho Lalulu in the middle. Having your center back is a big deal, and especially when you have your quarterback returning. It's really difficult to quantify just how beneficial that is. You know, we asked Elite Terry, the Duck offensive line coach, about that, and he sort of was like, man, it's like having another coach out there, because that's the experience factor. And, you know, the Ducks have done, I think, a nice job of rotating young offensive linemen into games. And I think that's really helped guys like Poncho Lalulu get more and more comfortable now being the veterans of the room. And you rattled off some of the names, and just totally honestly, like, the Ducks have been rotating along the offensive line, both in team drills and in different individual drills. And I will be honest, I'm curious to see what the rotation looks like when the Ducks scrimmage for the first time on Saturday. I think it won't shock a lot of people to know that's even someone like me who's around the team. Like, I'll watch that. You know, that's just something that I will keep an eye on, who's in those different spots, because the Ducks have rotated a lot of guys, and the competition, it's funny, like, there was so much made of Coach Lanning's comment about how you want to have 6 to 8 offensive linemen that can rotate. And, you know, he made the point later on and during camp, like, if you have 5 good ones and it's a clear 5, then maybe you don't have a very good number 6. And that can really hurt you if someone gets hurt over the course of the season. So that's why the Ducks like to rotate. And I, for one, hope that competition and that rotation stays deep into the O-line room here over the next couple weeks of fall camp, because if it doesn't, I come back to Dan Lanning's comment a few days ago that I think was sort of that warning of, you don't want to just have a clear 5. You really want to have guys that can come in and play in different scenarios, because you never know what's going to happen. Just ask the running back room last year what happens when there's some attrition in a room and how much it can impact you.
Joey Mack of the Ducks here as we talk Duck football halfway through camp. We've already talked offense and can probably talk more, but the defense on a team last year that gave up just about 18 points a game has really got a lot of returners, and you talk about Uliangale combining going along with Tuioti for over 15 sacks last year combined. Your DTs of Washington and Bear Alexander, they're back. They're big young men. And Oregon only allowed about 115 yards rushing per game, which I think it says it ranks seventh in the Big Ten, and that could be a number that could decrease this year.
They want to improve in a couple key defensive categories. I mean, Chris Hampton, the Duck defensive coordinator, has made it pretty clear. You know, Oregon was actually one of the worst in the country in red zone defense. Now, the Ducks were one of the best in the country at not allowing teams to get into the red zone. So it's a little bit of an interesting scenario there, right? Oregon's defense was very good at not allowing teams into the red zone, but every time a team got to the red zone, for the most part, they scored. And so I think that's a real key for this team. And why I bring that up in the context of this question is, you mentioned the sack totals for Mateo Uiagalelei and Tatum Tuioti, 15. I think they're going to tell you they want more than that. I think that the sacks are going to increase this year, and I feel that it's a real key for Oregon to finish around the quarterback in that way. You know, get off the field a little more often, but also I think that's going to help in the red zone. You know, there's so many things, there's so many factors. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's one thing that's going to lead to some of these numbers increasing defensively. It's certainly all about a different, or it's about a whole holistic operation. But I think that it's really key for Oregon to be more efficient defensively in the red zone. If they want to be where they want to be at the end of the year, that's a statistical category that I think Oregon needs to climb nationally.
I guess the secondary, I would say, is still fairly loaded right now. When you talk about, you got your returning quarterback in Brandon Finney, three INTs, some breakups last year. And then you've got this new transfer from Minnesota, Coy Petrich, is a second-team All-Big Ten selection last year. Talk about the secondary.
Coy Petrich looks like Dylan Thienemann, and Dylan Thienemann was really good for the Ducks last year. So if he's what Dylan Thienemann was, then I think Oregon's going to be pretty happy with him at safety. And, you know, Aaron Flowers last year played an awful lot at the other safety spot. Mm-hmm. I really thought that he did a solid job. I think that Brandon Finney as a freshman sort of jumped off the page, and Dylan Thienemann as a draft prospect jumped off the page. But Aaron Flowers was really good, got a lot of valuable experience. And at the number two cornerback spot opposite of Brandon Finney, we did see a couple different guys rotating there. And if Obadegu, I feel like, is a guy that can take a big jump this year. He's just been really, really solid. And you know, it's funny. I often think about the fact Troy Brown, once upon a time at Oregon, was the quote-unquote number two corner. Well, that guy's had like a decade career in the NFL at this point. And I'm really interested to see what Oregon does with the star position. They brought in a guy named Carl Williams, who was in the transfer portal, has a lot of experience. And then they've also talked about how position versatility in the secondary is really important. Chris Hampton touched on how, like, Peyton Woodyard, a guy who's been in the system now, has played a little bit of star. Brandon Finney Jr. has played a little bit of star. And I go back to Christian Gonzalez sometimes. Christian Gonzalez was a cornerback and now is about to be, if not already, the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Well, Christian Gonzalez at times would also move inside to that slot corner and play star for Oregon. And that position versatility really benefited him both, I think, in Oregon's system, but also for his entire career in the NFL. And I feel like Brandon Finney may have that type of makeup. And that position versatility, I just feel like it's so important in Oregon's system and in Oregon's secondary. And you know, we talk about, like, where do my eyes go in the scrimmage on Saturday? The O-line rotation is one, and I'll be watching to see what that secondary looks like. Because to your point, Mike, I mean, I think we know what Oregon's defensive front is. I think we also have a good idea of what Oregon's linebackers can do. Guys like Jerry Mixon and Devin Jackson are back and healthier maybe than they've been in years past. And so I feel like you kind of know what the front seven, front six in Oregon's system looks like. What does that secondary five look like in the rotation? I think, particularly at the star spot, I'm curious how the Ducks handle that over the course of the year.
Boise State comes in on September 5th. They open it there. Then they're on the road at Oklahoma State. Portland State back on September 19th. The broadcast crew is ready before the season kicks off again.
Well, we will, no doubt. I don't know if we're ready now, but we'll certainly be ready by the time September 5th comes. So still some competition. and for me, a little bit of prep on Boise State. I couldn't tell you the first thing about Boise State's roster right now. That's going to be future Joey's problem.
That's Joey Mack. He's one of the radio voices of the Oregon Ducks and joining us here on the Sports Ticket. We've got more Duck Reports, Duck Insider, four nights a week right here on KYKN. Joey, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. That's Joey. I'm Mike, and the fellas will be back here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Color Dial here on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. And thanks, Mike, for getting Joey on the air. That guy is a wealth of knowledge if you're a duck. I mean, he's got the inside scoop, thus his insider show that you can hear at 7 o'clock every evening. What is it, Monday through Thursday? Is that what we do?
Monday through Friday.
Friday, really? Now?
Yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately, they do get preempted for the Mariners. This time of the year on occasion, but whenever we have the opportunity, we make sure that that insider show is on the airwaves.
Yeah, Joey's awesome. But this is going to be brought to you by Bowen Vine Burger Bar right down there on Commercial Street. If you're having a party, they've got a place that you can set it all up and you can enjoy their great food. Mm-hmm. Best burger in town. Okay, football. I mean, since Joey brought it up and Mike, I mean, my gosh. I got to get off the baseball bandwagon. We got to start hopping on football because the Ducks, this actually, what Joey just stated, this is probably the best team that the Ducks have ever started with ever.
Yeah. Well, and is this the year you just have to see it happen? You're coming off of, you know, some of these players that have been the thorn in the side. Mendoza just played his first preseason game last night for the Raiders.
Look good.
You know, he was the dominant force in college football last year. Ohio State, probably not quite the same team they were a couple of years ago when they knocked out the Ducks. We say it every year, though, of course. This is our year. This truly could be the year.
Well, you know, I think we've talked about it before, but Dante Moore, quarterback for the Ducks. I mean, you got Raiola. He's going to be a backup. Dante, this has got to be his year because last year he really struggled with a lot of, defensive lines coming in and not giving him time. And whenever that happens, he really just kind of trips out in the pocket and doesn't make good throws. And it happened in the semifinals against Indiana last year. I mean, they just shut him down right out of the gate, threw a pick for a six, first play of the game for the Ducks. And he had a guy wide open down the right side, didn't even look for him. So really, Dante needs to start going through those progressions. Hopefully he's looking at tape and they can figure this thing out in fall camp right now. And I think that they probably are. Offensive line, like Joey said, that's probably the biggest area that the Ducks don't have a lot of depth, at least as far as we know right now. So really that's the only concern for me is the offensive line. Can they protect Dante Moore long enough? Because he's got a million dudes to throw to. DeCorian Moore. They've got Harrison, that 6'7" tight end coming in. I mean, that dude's just a giant. Could have gone D1 basketball as Joey was talking about. And, you know, this guy's, I mean, you could see that guy from like 100 miles away. And throwing the ball.
Well, and of course, the Ducks in these early preseason rankings are sitting at number 2 behind Ohio State. You understand it. You don't like it, but you can understand.
Hey, you know, it is what it is, and it doesn't even matter.
No.
I mean, really, it does not matter because you're going to play them in November, and you got to go to the Horseshoe. And before that, you're playing Michigan at your place down at Autzen. So,
well, remember, about this time a year ago, Penn State, I think, was, you know, the preseason number 2. Had some struggles, so they've rectified that. They're 17 right now. So,
you know, by the way, Aller, the quarterback for Penn State, I mean, he looked really, really good. Was that the Steelers who he was playing for? I think it was. Okay. And he looked phenomenal. Yeah. So anyways, I guess you just got to get out of college football and then you just start, you know, you get those NFL coaches and it seems to, you know, go a little bit better for you.
Well, there's so many things going on. And again, it could be right back to what we started the show with, the pressure of being a preseason number 2 team. And how will the Ducks handle it this year? Penn State didn't handle it well a year ago. We'll see what goes on.
Yeah, I think the Ducks have been there for so many years that I don't think it really phases them anymore. But we got to get out
there. There's a reason they play the games, too.
That's exactly right. So we got to get out to our final break. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It's going to be a quick one as we got to give it off to Rick Riz and crew. Mariners coming up, taking on the Astros down in Houston.
Must win series.
Yeah, there's a lot of must wins out there, Hunter. There really are coming down the stretch. But wanted to let you know, we just got up talking about the Ducks, but we're actually going to have a college football kickoff show, and it's going to be at Turner Pizza down in Turner. Imagine that.
Well, what a logical place.
And we're trying to get Jerry Allen down there. We're going to have to see what his schedule is. Joey can't make it, unfortunately. He wanted to, but we're still going to try to do that. And if Jerry could come, it's going to, you know, you're going to need to come down, because this guy is unbelievable. He is the nicest. He's just a gentleman. I mean, this, I just love that guy. I really do.
Well, what we're really looking at 2 weeks from today, it will be a Friday night. We will actually not be airing the Mariners game that Friday night, so that we can have a special at least 2 hours of football preseason talk. We're going to have at least an hour dedicated to the Ducks with the Tailgater crew. Jeff, you're going to head that one. And then another hour dedicated to the upcoming high school football season. Mike Alliger will be there. We're going to see if Charlie McGuire can get there. I'll probably even make a guest appearance on that one. We're going to have a ton of fun down at Turner Pizza 2 weeks from tonight, talking football at least 2 hours. And we're even talking, if we can get enough special guests in that building, we might go three.
It's possible. So it's either 5 o'clock or a 4 o'clock start, just depending on who we've got coming in. And yeah, you're going to want to come down and just see it. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh yeah. We're going to have a blast down there. We're going to be talking a lot of football, a lot of sports, a lot of excitement. And then of course at 7 o'clock that evening, we'll turn it over to the Duck Insider. That's why Joey can't be there. He's got a show
exactly
to do.
Right. All right. Does that wrap it up for us? Are we done?
That brings us about to the end. You know, it's another fun, exciting Friday afternoon.
Happens so fast. So, all right, good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Mariners are up next. Enjoy the ball game. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.